Welcome to Radio Freeman. It's February 24th, and as I reported to you on Tuesday, I had just come out of a freeze to enter a warm front of 70 degrees. Went from wearing snow boots to having on my sandals. Now, today, I'm here Thursday with you, and it's quite the opposite. Completely hit with a blizzard, stuck on the highway doing 15 miles an hour, could not see. It was 70 degrees when we left. Well, you know what? Frozen solid on the way home. Amazing planet we're living on. Things are shifting, and you've got to realize this is solar flare activity causing all of this. That is why things will shift so rapidly as they are. And, of course, this causes, superstorms when we're struck straight force by a solar flare. Today, Discovery launched. This is the last launch of the Discovery space shuttle and shuttle mission 133, the one that they thought might possibly come after 134 due to all the delays. But it has finally launched today. And sending up with them is Robonaut 2. This mission will be transporting the permanent multi-purpose module known as Leonardo. And this is the third of the fourth that are going up there. This is a large reusable pressure unit that therefore adds more space for scientific studies and, storage up on the International Space Station. Almost 200 people from 15 countries have visited the International Space Station, but this time a non-human member is going on up. Yes, Robonaut 2 has come out of his crate and is now being placed aboard the International Space Station, well, in 3 days when they dock. This will be the latest generation of Robonaut astronaut helpers, which is set to launch, or is launched, and will be the first humanoid robot in space, although its primary job for now is teaching engineers how dexterous robots behave in space. The hope is that through upgrades and advancements, it could one day venture outside the station and help spacewalkers. R2, or Robonaut 2, will be not returning to Earth. He is now a permanent member of the International Space Station crew. And the final task of this Discovery launch will be to get a special bottle filled with space for the Japanese educational payload. The bottle will be part of a museum exhibit for public viewing. Other strange news, scientists claim that the self can be mentally transferred between bodies or made to include even an extra limb. Yes, your brain had managed to think out another limb and actually feel with this external limb. And they're believing that once they start to experiments being performed at Stockholm's Karolinska Institute Medical University, they hope to start to transfer mentalities into other bodies. And even Time Magazine saying 2045, the year man becomes immortal. That's right. Things are changing faster than we can imagine. And I'll be right back with Vinny Eastwood. We're just not ready to back down. We don't want to stand down, and we want to stand for the beliefs that we have. But where do these beliefs actually come from, and how much truth is there to them? How much can we stand behind what we believe, and how willing are we to allow change to occur in our lives? These are desperate questions that need to be answered, because we are going through a major shift, and if we can't get along through this, then we are all doomed. And to speak a little bit of some of the troubles that are going on in New Zealand with the earthquakes, and also on the ideas of the truth or infighting and what's going on with that, we have Vinny Eastwood joining us tonight here on Radio Freeman. I'm really excited. Vinny, welcome to the show.
Oh, you're excited, Freeman. Bloody hell, I thought the honor was all mine.
Well, you are one fun person to listen to. I'll tell you that much. I really enjoy your outlook and the way that you see things. And, you know, we got to keep this lighthearted, do we not?
Well, you know, absolutely. I mean, look, it's like I say, I mean, the Christchurch quake, for example, has just happened, and 115 people dead, 300 people missing. And still, despite that fact, there are people having coffee, laughing about stuff, because it is the way that you deal with the most terrible situations is to laugh about them. You get that, and even on a physiological level, you get the release of endorphins, which relieve stress and help you function better. And what I find, Freeman, in this movement, and of course, you know, mentioning truth or infighting, of course, is that it's because people just take it far too seriously and they go too far. When the heck are you just going to tell a joke, even if it's in bad taste, and laugh simply because of the fact that you really, really do need to take things a little less seriously than you often do, on occasion, at least, you know? Otherwise, you'll go friggin' nuts, man. Because, look, there's so much information out there, most of it bad. So you might as well laugh about it while we still can. I mean, if we're going to be exterminated by fabulous world government extermination forces, I'd rather be, you know, laughing on my feet than crying on my knees.
Well, it really makes a difference when in how you seek your solution. I mean, if you're all angry and you're ready to go and kill all the fanatics, you're in that group as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, cackle away, shoot them, or whatever.
Right. I'll tell you, one of my favorite examples on human laughter and why we laugh, because it really is, you're right, it is sorrow that brings the laughter. And when you start to read a book by Robert Heinlein, Stranger in a Strange Land, and it's this Martian trying to figure out what it's like to be human, and he just goes through this amazing tale of how to figure out why humans laugh. He sees, hears this atrocious noise coming out of us, and he tries to mimic it and just really can't sort out the reason until he reaches deep sorrow, loses someone, and suddenly realizes what laughter is for. I think it's an amazing tale. I recommend it to a lot of people.
Well, you know, and it's a tale that's been told all the way through all sorts of things, you know. You don't realize what you've got until you've lost it.
That is very true, too. Now, on the note of, you know, the New Zealand disaster, just one little example I have of what you don't know and how quickly things could go. I was given a bottle of oil from Greece, and this was from the greatest orchard or olive orchard out there, and it burnt to the ground. And I had used all of that olive oil just thinking, oh, I could get more and more. Don't worry. I'm friends with the people that own the fields out there. No worries. But the whole place burnt to the ground there in Greece just last year. And, you know, no more oil coming from there. And it really made me realize how special everything is as at the moment and how much we've lost sight of all of that in our instant gratification society.
Well, you know, I sometimes wonder, you know, where are we actually heading in ourselves? I mean, I think that I'm heading in the right direction because I'm able to, like Doctor Who, laugh in the face of my enemy. But on the other hand, is this going to make me some description of moralless tyrant in my own right, you know? And it's like, everybody talks about this, these two opposing forces, this balancing act, and you know, to a certain extent, I completely agree that, you know, you've got to have a little bit of the yin and a little bit of the yang. But, you know, sometimes I just kind of don't even want to participate. You know, there's times in my life where I've experienced bouts of extreme sadness, and you know, psychiatrists would try to prescribe me medication for that, but I just laugh. Instead of, you know, taking drugs that have a side effect of committing suicide, because that's a heck of a lot more.
This antidepressant, you know? Be warned, it does cause compulsive shopping and potential suicide. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we should get into the pharmaceutical game before it's too late, Freeman, before they kill off the whole market.
True enough.
Yeah, I mean they're making billions, and that's kind of why I take the Mickey out of them all the time. You know, because if you're having fun at their expense, you know, rationalize it for a moment. Who's got a bigger expense account than the New World Order? Nobody. So who better to take the Mickey out of?
There you go.
You know, appropriate enemies. And this is the difficulty with truth or infighting. And to a certain extent, yes, I understand that there are elements that are extremely important. And I believe that we have to discuss absolutely everything. But sometimes we do have to take a step back and realize who we're actually fighting against and whether or not fighting against each other is fulfilling any kind of promise within the truth movement or if it is only fulfilling the promise of the New World Order. That's why I'm hesitant sometimes. You know, I say to myself, I don't want to ever fire the first shot. I will wait for somebody to attack me before I consider them an enemy, because I will fire the final shot, and it will be a headshot.
Right. Well, I posted this on Facebook that we were going to be here talking tonight, Vinny, and about the truth or infighting, and somebody posted a comment saying, well, Freeman, you know, it's a wonderful thing that you can get along with Tex Mars, who's the evangelical priest or minister of power of prophecy, and also the high priest of the Church of Satan, Rex Church, and they both seem to like you a lot, Freeman. But beware of Alex Jones. And the truth of the matter is that this type of discussion that you and I have expanded from started in that movement of the Christian patriot paradigm. And so now we had two people who were adamant about what they believe. We have our Constitution. We have our Bill of Rights. We have our founding fathers. Or we have our Jesus. That's our Savior. And they have all the answers. And so then it's so simple to go and say, well, look at this picture. That's Satan. You know, you see the eye in the pyramid, that's Satan. Or if you know, this is the Illuminati versus our Democratic Republic. And when you get yourself ingrained into a particular belief system and then everything that you come across is opposed to that, then you don't even research it, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, when somebody shows me door number one and door number two, the first thing I ask is, where the hell is door number three? Thank you very much. You know, who said we ever got to restrict our opinions or our path through life down one path or the other? You know, why can't we chart our own course? Why can't we look at anything we want? Why can't we do this? Why can't we do that? You know, I feel that when you're trying to tell somebody that they're wrong, you have to at the same time be questioning whether or not I'm actually right. Otherwise, you're just a hypocrite. You know, and in my opinion, everybody is a hypocrite, and anybody who denies it is a hypocrite.
Right. You know, now I am being used against Alex Jones. Alex had just put out his new logo, his V for Victory, right? And of course, yes, I have discussed V till it has fallen off the edge of my tongue. You know, I'm just sick of talking about V and its connections to the occult and what it means and how it equates to six and how this all relates to 666 and the Volkswagen logo. You know, I talk about this endlessly. And actually, I was in Brave New Books with Alex Jones, and the Discovery Channel began filming us. And so I started laying in what I knew about the ritual nature of the politics that we're dealing with, that the Shekinah and the Shekinah run together. These are occult meanings, and that Y2K was the ritual to Horus, and how 66 equals V and W, and how all that equates to the fallen angels. I'm telling this to Discovery Channel. Meanwhile, Alex Jones, he wanted to get in on this and didn't let me take up the camera time with the Discovery crew. So he starts, yeah. And then they're using this against him because now he came out on his radio show saying, well, I don't know anything about the V symbol being a cult. And then they'll cut to me and Alex with the Discovery Channel, and I'm going, V is a very occult symbol, you know. And it's an amazing thing that we're in here, you know, just trying to bring truth to people, just trying to highlight sort pieces of the puzzle that no one had noticed, or many hadn't noticed, or at least it hadn't been made public, you know, and this just all blows my mind the way it goes.
Well, see, on occasions, you know, people just make crap up. Like, for example, my name's Vinny. It starts with a V and it ends with an innie. So apparently I could be some description of a cult agent, as I've been accused of before by Dean Burgermeister. Jane Burgermeister of birdflu666.wordpress.com, one of the most premier websites, I would say, for getting decent information. And I still support Jane Burgermeister. I've made many videos praising her. And despite the fact that she's called me an agent because I called for a little bit of unity to stop the truth of her infighting, like literally, despite that fact, I still support her because, in my opinion, it's on the points that we agree that we should come together and collaborate. And on the points that we disagree, we can leave them for another time because we're not going to exterminate each other like the New World Order is planning to exterminate us, are we, Freeman? You know, I'm not going to come into your house dressed in a black uniform, kick you down, you know, take your kids and whatever, and just blow up your house with some description of shape charge or some ridiculous notion like that, am I? So who's the real enemy here? And I had a text message at 9:30 at night, guy who I had on my show to talk about. He's the first person to ever beat the courts in this country by getting a judge to reverse his own judgment. Okay, and I was the only person who actually had him on air. And then he sends me a text at 9:30 in the night saying, "Vinny, I think you're an effing spy."
The judge.
And, No. Oh, the guy who I had on the show, Ike Fenner.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. And I sent him a text message, you know, as I do, with a question mark, WTF. And, <he's, laughs> and he sends me a message back going, "F you, a-hole." You know, it's like totally out of the blue. What right. The heck? Now, here's the interesting point here. Despite the fact that somebody would criticize me or whatever, you know, despite the fact that I would say, oh, they're an enemy, quite frankly, if you go out looking for enemies, hell, you're going to find more than you can handle, right?
This is absolutely true. If I can have one example, I think I've reluctantly now have put out David Icke Exposes the Exposers. And in this was David's rant about people attacking him, you know, attacking him for all the hard work that he's trying to do to enlighten people, to bring something to the attention. But there's always haters, and haters are going to hate. And I put this out there for him, and I realized what it did was have the opposite effect. What I've done now is got more people to attack him. And now he's on his website defending his arthritis or defending himself in all the manners that he has to now. And I almost feel like I turned a ray on him by playing this audio of him, you know, exposing the exposers and getting upset about what people are doing instead of, you know, facing the threats that we actually have to deal with. Instead, we're complaining whether or not David Icke is, a Freemason giving handshakes to Bill Ryan, right? But you can turn things around the wrong way when you try to attack your attackers.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And I was sent an article by a great guest on our show, Calvin Alp, and it was called Why You Need Enemies. Now, essentially, when you create an enemy, you create two things. Number one, you create opposition to your viewpoint. Number two, you create support for your viewpoint because your enemies link to you. And you actually become more popular, and you actually get more out there in the public sphere by having enemies. Isn't that interesting?
Now,
I would question that and think to myself, okay, well, is it then etiquette to go out and try and make enemies with people? I think not. Because one of the other guests I had on my show, she wrote a book about how she got over depression and all that jazz. But the upshot of it was, if you've ever seen What the Bleep Do We Know About Quantum Physics and stuff like that, there's a scene in that movie where they have glasses of water that have different emotions taped to them, like one's love, one's hate, and under them. And under the microscope, the chemical composition of those glasses of water with nothing else other than a word taped on them changed. And because a human body is up to 75% water, then conversely, the people that you hang around with can also change the chemical composition within you, which is why I choose to associate with really good, nice, healthy, intelligent people. And I find that I become really nice, really intelligent, and really healthy. Who would have thunk it? You know, you are who you were associate with to a certain extent, but it is, again, a choice that you have to make. I mean, when I was in high school, I was the chair of the prom committee, and I came up with the idea for the senior prom, you know, the snowball, and I helped to organize the whole dang thing. And then after the prom, the very next week, when we had school assembly, the principal read out the names of all the people that had helped with the prom. There were 29 people in my form, and only 28 names were called. I was not one of them. It was at that point that I realized that I'm not the crazy, ungrateful one. I'm really not.
No, you're not. And that's where our power starts to come in. We are dealing with so much distraction and so much, debunking and dissension. You know, when you look at your video comments and you paste these things up for people to ridicule, analyze, or whatever, the ones that leave the comments are actually the ones that just have to leave some sort of mark on their thing, like ceremonial pissing, we could call it. And so therefore, all the comments tend to be negative because, you know, 6,000 people could look at this video and 40 comment and they'd all be negative because these are the type of people that have to. But this one-dimensional reality we have that is the internet, where you cannot sense the person's emotions, you can't tell if they're hitting you with sarcasm. It's a really horrible format for people to communicate.
Well, it really is. I guess maybe that's the reason why humanity is in such a bad place right now, because we're substituting real human communication for that which does not communicate human emotion.
No doubt about it. And I'll tell you, this gets in the way of families as well. And we'll pick that up on the other side. You're listening to Radio Freeman on American Freedom Radio. Common things that people say to me, and I'll tell you, as I go around all over all the travels that I do, all I really do these whole times is talk with people, and they tell me all their tales or their woes or their lives, and they try to find their way through this madness as they're coming awake to what seems to be an insane reality. And what they continue to find out is that their family members don't quite want to keep up with that same topic. And as much as the family wants to just live their lives, and the father figure, or it can be the daughter, it doesn't matter, the one person that's coming awake trying to share with everybody gets isolated from the family, and a lot of friction comes out of all of this. I've seen this a lot. So we're trying to find a way that people can interrelate on this topic. What do you think, Benny?
Well, you know, I get along incredibly well with my family, even though the vast majority of the things that I do and talk about, they don't necessarily agree with. My mum, on the other hand, is coming around, and I think that having a radio show and interviewing all the different people that I do has given me some sense of credibility in their eyes. I mean, before I was just some crazy conspiracy theorist, but now I'm a crazy conspiracy theorist on radio. Ooh, that's got credibility.
Right.
You know, and I think it's more the fact that it's like flogging a dead horse. You know, that horse isn't going to get up and pull your carriage. It's dead. Okay, there's no point trying to push anybody into waking up, because people never wake up because they were pushed to do so. They woke up because somebody shared information to them and it made them think. Now, it's like Bill Hicks said, you know, I'm just planting seeds. I'm just planting seeds. That's all you need to do. You don't need to talk about it all the time or anything like that. And granted, the conspiracy field, in my opinion, is by far the most interesting, absorbing, and, well, enlightening topic because of the fact that it's so vast. It's like learning everything from day one again because you find out that everything's a lie, and so then you have to find out what the truth of everything is, you know, and that's what part of awakening really is. And you can't push somebody into that. They have to make the decision on their own. And I think that's the problem with a lot of truthers is that because they want to be understood, because they want to have somebody else to talk to about this, and they think that it's the closest people to them that will, you know, support them and all of that. No. I'm a former salesman, and I know for a fact that the hardest people to convince of with anything, whether it's the ability to buy a product or the ability to take up a concept, the hardest people to sell to is your family.
Okay? Even being the Messiah.
Yeah. That's true. And, you know, this is the thing that people got to realize is that you're pushing crapola uphill trying to convince your family about all these conspiracy theories. They're either going to believe you straight off the bat or they're going to wake up way later. And you know, for all intents and purposes, they may never wake up, not to any certain extent. And the more you push them, the more links you send them, the more movies you ask them to watch, the less interested they become. Okay, it's like Christian preachers, for example. And I'm not ragging on Christians. I love Christians. I think they're wonderful people, and I want to see them put Christianity into practice one day. because when somebody's coming to your door, basically they're invading your space, kind of thing. And unless you're receptive, them coming to your door every day is not going to make them more receptive. In fact, by the third day, they're going to pull a gun on you. You know, that's the thing. You're pushing people into a corner, and you cannot do that, which is why you need to remember how to connect with people. If they're not connecting with conspiracies, if they're not connecting with enlightenment, then you have to connect with them with all the things that they will. Okay? You know, you need to play a card game with them, watch a movie with them, talk to them about, fruit or anything. It doesn't matter. They're your family. You should know them pretty freaking well by now. You should know what their interests are, and you should know that you love them and you want to be, and you want to relate to them, right? And so you should know how to do that. And if they're not relating to you on the terms that you set out, they don't believe in conspiracies, they're just slaves or whatever, all you're going to do is wind up becoming really bitter, and all they're going to do is wind up ostracizing you. And then who's better off? Nobody. You're both worse off.
Exactly. It's so true. You have to make it inspirational and interesting. There are a lot of gateway conspiracies. We've covered quite a few here. You can use marijuana, the fact that it's illegal, as a gateway conspiracy just to start somebody down the path of questioning why. Because it's the question why that drives us, isn't it?
Well, and you make a good, interesting point there, Freeman, about gateway conspiracies, because everybody's got a pet gateway conspiracy. Okay, my sister, for example, she's an atheist. She doesn't believe in the in any of the religious establishment. So then you can start talking to her about things that she's really, really open to. You know, like the Roman Catholic Church, raping boys, and all of that kind of real nasty stuff. And she'll really get off on it, you know, because she really wants to know all the dirt on the religious stuff because that's her bag. And unwittingly, if I'm using a propagandist point of view, which I generally do because I'm a propagandist by trade, how can I not be? I'm in radio. white propaganda, not black propaganda. Thank you very much. I choose to use the truth to change people's minds, not lies. But the fact of the matter is we are basically fighting a psychological war. And unless we're using psychological techniques, we don't have a show in this fight. Okay, you need to find out what people's ticks are if you really want to wake them up, and send them things that'll help to open them up. You know, you can't just go blanketing somebody about reptilians or fluoride or 9/11 being an inside job if that's not their forte. You know, it's a waste of time. You know, at the very least, if you're going out doing 9/11 truth actions or things like this, you meet random people in the street and you have no idea what their draw card is. Absolutely no idea. So that's why you pick a single issue. You know, you're there with a sign that says 9/11 is an inside job. And the people who are interested, the people who will actually listen, will be the people who stop to talk to you. And so you've got them right there and then. And you need to be experienced in how you talk to people and how you approach them with certain things and ideologies and all of that. You don't say 9/11 is an inside job, therefore there's a global government out to exterminate us. That's too much of a big leap, you know? they've just allowed themselves to open up and listen to you, okay? That is your opportunity. Don't blow it, because it's very important for waking people up. You can literally save somebody's life by choosing your words carefully.
And speaking of that, I really remember as I began to become a conspiracy theorist, and I did really want people to believe and listen to what I had to say. I don't think I ever felt like I had to beat it into anyone's heads, and actually I would tend to draw crowds. But there was always that dissenter who was waiting for me to slip with one mispronunciation so that he could debunk my entire thing. And I remember the amount of pressure I would go through to state my words so specifically so that I was had no opportunity for them to come in and derail me. And this is so much effort and so not worth it.
Yeah, yeah, and that's another interesting point, Freeman, is that I don't like dancing on razor blades, and I don't like walking on eggshells. If somebody's going to come out and, you know, pick fleas off the ass of an elephant when it comes to what I'm talking about, they can just F right off. All right, seriously. I don't have time for you because you're not interested in listening. You're not interested in learning. You're not interested in saving humanity. You're just interested in postulating your own pathetic propaganda. So F off. Thank you very much. I have a heck of a lot of other people out here who are willing to listen. And more to the point, I have a heck of a lot of other people who I'm willing to listen to, because I'm not some unbalanced equation that's trying to find its antithesis. You know, I'm just a human being trying to figure out what the hell I'm doing here on this plane of existence. And I was very, very arrogant and foolish to assume that I knew what the hell was going on with everything, wouldn't I? Because I'm only human. I'm not a bloody god. You know, and that's what really ticks me off about truth or infighting, is that some of these people, and I don't want to, you know, rag on everybody or anything like that or get enemies, even though it'll increase my hits.
I've got a tale or two I want to share if we get in the mood here in the next half hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I got some tales.
Oh, well, I know. I'm sure, we all do, don't we? You know, it's part of the experience of life that you wind up with copious quantities of stories to tell. I mean, the reason why I quit my job working for a massive telecommunications corporation is because A1, my boss was abusive, and B2, he pulled me up about telling our customers that cell phones gave them brain cancer. You know, and it's when people nitpick about saving human life, that's when I just kind of click, okay, I don't want to hang out with this person anymore because they are a negative influence on my life. And there's 6 billion effing people on this planet, maybe 7 billion now. What the heck makes you think that you have to stay with the people that really F you off? You know, are you foolish? There's so much variety out there. There are smart people, there's dumb people, there's skinny people, there's fat people, there's enlightening people, there's dumbing down people. You know, you can make your choice, and you have virtually infinite choice, because there's zero possibility that you will ever meet everybody on the planet. Okay, so choose wisely.
Well, I remember so well during Y2K, I was working at a Pizza Hut on Kansas University's campus. And I would feed them information while they came in for lunch. And the students that came to my area were actually the architects, the lawyers, and the engineers. And so I was dropping them all kinds of information about HARP and Y2K. And this was 1999. And I would bring them documents from FEMA and the Department of Defense that say, prepare for 3 days. There's a potential complete global meltdown of our electronic systems and communications grids, so you better prepare. And here it was, FEMA.gov or Department of DOD, part, you know, And I'm showing this to the students, and they say, ah, you can't believe everything you read on the internet.
They're so dumb, you know, and this is the interesting thing about education is the more educated you get, the dumber you get.
It's true.
Which is why...
Seriously, the only people that were really into it were those that came from India, and, well, they love my food, too, because I really put love into my food. I intentionally set my information to be incredible. I mean, currently I'm trying to prove that Barack Obama and family are clones of Akhenaten and his family. And I can darn well prove it. And this is blowing people's minds. But you could never use my work to hate. You could never use my work to force it upon somebody because it's so easily discredited by the quote-unquote skeptic that you could never use me to hate. And I love doing that in this fashion. Get the information out, but you cannot, you know, you take it as you will.
Well, yeah, and that's something that I really kind of try to live my life by is that, you know, I listen to absolutely everything. Listen to everything and believe nothing per se, you know, unless, of course, it's really, really important to you because let's face facts here, Freeman. I mean, there's no possibility that we'd ever figure everything out, you know. So sometimes sometimes we kind of have to base our decisions upon assumptions. And so I decided to base every decision that I make upon an assumption, one assumption only. Everything that I know to be true is in fact wrong, and I simply haven't reviewed the evidence yet.
Yes.
You know, because then potentially, no matter what I'm doing, I could be wrong. And so if somebody presents evidence that's contrary to my current belief, if you want to call it that at the time, I then become right because I was right about being wrong.
Right. Exactly.
So I'm either right or I'm pleasantly surprised, you know, and I find that's a really good, nice, positive place to be.
Yeah, I agree.
Wrong,
I mean, we call this
wrong, you're never wrong.
Exploration, right?
Well, yeah. We're on this planet. There's infinite amount of stuff to learn. Infinite amount of people to hang out with, have fun. I mean, I don't just sit around and pontificate conspiracy theories all day long, although it's one of my favorite things to do. It's not the only thing that I do. I also go out and in fact, after the show today, I'm going out to film a dance party. All right. I help really good promoters and party people to get their stuff onto YouTube. And if you want to have a look at any of the videos that I've made for any of the various party promoters around Auckland, you go to Eastwood Vincent. That's my personal YouTube channel where I do all my business there.
All right, Eastwood Vincent. We'll check that out. Oh, so much more coming for you guys. Hang tight. We'll be right back. Information is something. Information is information. It's out there, and it's there to be garnished by anyone that comes across it. And then it becomes your own. As long as you have taken it, databased it, researched it, gone, backed it up, and taken it to your own perspective. Well, often coincidences and research will occur, and it's funny how researchers will then start to fight amongst each other as to who came up with it first. And I personally have a story with Michael Tsarian where this very thing happened. Now, first of all, the intriguing thing was that Tsarian and I both put out videos on corporate logos and their occult meanings. Now, personally, I think I have it more right than he does. But we seem to put these out right about the same time, and we actually chose the exact same song to open the video with. which was a song from Dead Can Dance. And I mean, out of all the songs in the world, both Michael Tesserian and I both chose this very same song to open our corporate logos videos with. I was blown away. Now, that's coincidence. Meanwhile, I end up writing this tale of Barack Anaten. I tell the tale of how Barack Obama is to herald a coming space war using an asteroid as a threat. And lo and behold, an asteroid is hurtling towards planet Earth. Now, I was unaware of this asteroid at the time, and most of the planet was. We weren't alerted to it until 2009. This asteroid was known as Apophis. And at this moment, started to realize that Barack Obama and family looked incredibly like the Akhenaten family, so much so that I could split their faces in half and put them together, and most people can't even tell I did it. They look so much like Akhenaten's family, I think they're clones. Later, we find deeper things coming out of this story, and here is Akhenaten fighting his very foe, the serpent deity of destruction, Apophis, which comes from Akhenaten's religion. Basically, it's Akhenaten's Satan, and now the asteroid that I said Obama would use was named after the Satan of the pharaoh that I was saying he was a clone of. And this has just continued to unfold, even to the point now where the Cairo Museum was ransacked, and what did they take? But Akhenaten's relics, okay? And then they come out and announce that they actually had Akhenaten's DNA all along, but they were keeping it secret under national security. So I write this article of Barack Anaten, and it's really a story of asteroids and clones, and I send it off to Michael Tesserian to get his review and see if he'll come and talk to me about his understanding of the cult of Aten, which seems to be the solar deity cult that we're dealing with here, the ones putting pyramids on our dollar bills and rising suns on our banks. These are the cult of Aten from Akhenaten's religion, or so Michael Tesserian was to say. So he goes and has a look at my article. It couldn't have been more than 5 minutes he spent with it, came back to me and said, well, I don't see my name on here anywhere. And I wrote back and said, well, why would that be? He says, well, you obviously stole all my information. And I was like, I can't find your information. That's why I'm inviting you on the show. Folks, this is the reason Michael Tesserian has never come back on the show, so that you know. And I told him, well, look, you know, this is an article about clones and asteroids. It has absolutely nothing to do with the cult of Aten, except for the fact that that's the name of the near-Earth asteroid group that is sending Apophis to crash to our planet. Yeah, I talk about Akhenaten in just the mild way, but I want your insight. Oh, no, you're a cannibal. He sends me a picture of a cannibal eating and ripping his body apart and says, don't ever speak to me again. Next thing we know, we're having dinner together in London with Henrik from Red Eyes Creations. And true to my words, I didn't speak to him again. You know, I was going to let him be the man and come and speak to me. But sure enough, we sat there in silence. Well, everybody at the table was my friend. So he sat there in silence and just had to deal with eating his own crow. But what are we to do when information is shared and it is information and we're all coming to the same conclusions from different angles and yet we want to fight about who came up with it first? Astounding. What do you think, Vinny? Did we lose Vinny?
Oh, no, I'm here, man. I'm sorry.
Okay, sorry. I was ranting. I was ranting, you know?
Yeah.
This is what drives me insane, you know? It's information and we're all coming at this puzzle piece. And we're saying, look, here's the puzzle, and we all see it from a different angle, but yet we're all coming to very similar answers, and then we're going to start to say, well, I had that answer first.
Yeah, well, you know, I've got another favorite phrase. It's, oh, what a tangled web we weave. You know, there's uber amounts of coincidences out there, and there's lots of conspiracy theories too. We can't, it's not carte blanche, you know? And I think unless somebody really does be intentionally hostile towards you, don't worry about it. You know, if it appears that they've plagiarized something off you, who cares? It's not like somebody's cornered the market on conspiracy theories or anything like that. Well, I'm totally proud
of it, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what I'd do. I mean, if I release something and then Michael Tesserian released something very, very similar, like hours later or at the same time or something, I would go like, man, that's really cool. I wouldn't go, oh, that Tesserian, what a bastard. You know, it's just ridiculous.
It is, and it keeps us from not getting our information shared. I have lots of information I could share with him, and he has lots that he could share with me, and we both are trying to find the truth, so what's the problem?
It's not a bloody competition, is it? You know, I mean, come on.
I don't get paid for this, you know? I'm just here because I love all the love that I get for doing this. What about you, Vinny? Do you get a lot of love?
Oh, man, I get copious quantities of it, and it's really, really nice, man. Because it's like, I don't know, there's cool people out there and there's D-I-C-Ks, you know? And you find that cool people go out of their way to show their love.
Well, here you have it, folks. We're going to keep into this, and we're going to get into New Zealand and the earthquakes and some insider information from Vinny, who's over there. So we're going to, yeah, stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to Radio Freeman on American Freedom Radio. Welcome back to Radio Freeman. Here we go for hour two with Vinny Eastwood. Now, this is our short moment, Vinny. And I was remembering and reflecting on the Haiti earthquake back when Southern Command was preparing days before the incident for a potential disaster in Haiti. Now we're standing and facing this earthquake in New Zealand, the Christchurch, taking out many people, and people are reporting anomalous stuff, luminescent clouds by many colors. A lot of people, of course, talking harp. So let's go quickly to the New Zealand, and we'll pick this up on the other side.
Yeah, well, the Christchurch quake. Let's just get the serious stuff out of the way because I don't like being too serious. Big disaster. Biggest disaster that New Zealand's ever had, conceivably, or at least that's what the news is hyping it up to be. The two main television channels, Television 1 and Television 3, out of four channels, has decided that they are going to forego normal broadcasting for the duration. They are now on day four of unscheduled programming. Okay, it is 24 hours a day, pretty much, just talking about the quake. And I've got to tell you, it gets a little bit tedious seeing these flippant, limp-wristed, very well-made-up, vacuous trash we call journalists in this country asking people who have blood on their face, was it shocking when the quake hit? It's so vapid and pathetic, I can't believe it. And the worst part is, Freeman, the worst part is, me and my co-host Will are the only people in this country that are talking harp, that are talking about the anomalies and all of that, okay? We're the only ones. And it really Fs me off. You know, we're a country of 4 bloody million people, and you're telling me that there's 2 26-year-olds from Auckland are the only people who are talking the truth about this? Unbelievable. Makes me ashamed to be a New Zealander at some point.
That's worldwide. It's worldwide. The media is completely contrived, and you know, to that, I even think when people are looking at the media saying, look at this great protest they did in Egypt. Well, if the media is telling you it's great, then you better watch out.
Well,
it's all twisted.
I mean, when a crocodile smiles, swim the other direction. you know, because you're going to get chomped, aren't you? And that's the difficult thing, Freeman, is dealing with the constant barrage of BS. And that's all that mainstream media has become, which is why they are losing money like nobody's business, because everybody's starting to realize, hey, these guys are just shoveling truckloads of horse manure. I don't care anymore what they've got to say. And ironically, this is a bad move as well, because it means that people switch off from wanting to be informed because they think that they don't have any real choice out there. You know, it's why right. I encourage people to listen to, you know, shows like yours or watch documentaries and all of that kind of stuff, because you know what? I'm starting to wonder whether or not current affairs actually matter at all. What matters to me is information. And ironically enough, current affairs is the last place you're going to find information.
It's true. It's like you're just waiting for the next thing, and nothing is settling into your being to alter you. You're just waiting for the next one.
It's called the and now this phenomenon, which produces about a 30-second memory span.
No doubt. Well, we're going to pick this up on the other side. It's a strange world out there, folks, but we're loving it, and we're here, so let's live it. Just so you all know, everything over at freemantv.com is information-based and not really topical-based. So all of my archives are designed there for you to continually get information from. They are not yesterday's news. It's hard investigative reporting that is coming out and many different types of stories for you to investigate. So check it all out at freemantv.com. There's endless infotainment for you there. Now, Vinny, I love listening to you, so you want to tell everybody how we can hear your show, what it's on, and your website?
Well, see, just like every question you have to ask, there's always a complicated, multifaceted answer. I would suppose that if you wanted to just listen to the show and being live doesn't really matter to you, just go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, and Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. It starts with a V and it ends with an N. And we've got a... Well, basically, you know, Freeman, it's like a database of incredible information. And if you have not heard information before, then it's news. It doesn't matter what the timeliness of it is. If you haven't heard it already, then it's news.
So quite
frankly, I mean, if you go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and click on the archive section, you will find that there is a literal plethora of news. And on my show, we try to... Well, you know what? It's like I've understood the media to be a corrupt, failing institution that has essentially been derelict in their duty of informing the populace so that they can make well-informed decisions about who governs them, okay, whom their representatives should be. And I believe that the media has failed in their job. And I don't think there would be anybody on this world who would disagree with me on that.
No.
Because the truth is self-evident, as they say. And so,
proof is in the pudding.
The pudding tastes very sour indeed. I wonder why does anybody call it a pudding? It's more like an after-dinner poo. Now, what I would on your pillow, of course, your bedroom pillow. Now, I would consider, of course, that if the media won't do their job, there's no point trying to fight them. Just go ahead and replace them because they're no longer relevant. And this is happening everywhere. Alternative media is exploding in a superstellar kind of way. There is nobody out there who is completely unaware of alternative media sources coming out. And this is with a budget of virtually nil. Okay?
Nil. Yeah. Look at all these kids. I mean,
mainstream
look at them all,
media, with all their resources, all their propaganda, and all their globalist bankers, they still can't keep the lid on the cookie jar. People want those sweet treats of information, don't they?
Oh, they're having to compete. They're throwing Glenn Beck out there talking about Satan and Jesuits and everything else under the sun. They're trying to keep up, but they can't.
Yeah, and it's because they're pathetic, uncreative slime. Okay? That's it.
One person in the Truther movement does more than their entire staff. Go, Vinny, go.
Well, yeah. And it was two years ago that I realized that I actually had to take it into my own hands, because I understand that the power of the individual is indeed the wild card in any scenario. Doesn't matter how powerful a collectivist ideology is, an individual can wipe it aside very, very easily. You know, it's because of the fact that you cannot restrain humanity. Every attempt to restrain humanity in its entirety has always failed. You know, there's no possibility that we can lose this fight. Some of us may lose our lives. Some of us may lose our homes. Some of us may lose our countries. But we're not going to lose the war, no matter how many battles we fight. It's because of the fact that it is impossible to constrain humanity forever. Okay, and what we're at now is a turning point in history, in my opinion, where information technology exists, where it is capable, where we are capable of communicating with our brothers and sisters all over the world, and simultaneously through the digital internet. I would consider that because of the fact that we're at this pivotal point in history, there isn't any possibility that we can be stopped. Okay, and that fills me with great confidence, not only because of the fact that I have a radio show and I'm doing videos and I'm talking to amazing truthers every single day, whether it's on air or in person or on Facebook or whatever. I'm just being constantly flooded and surrounded with amazingness, basically. And so how could I ever be discouraged from that? And so the idea that I've had is to start up basically an international media conglomerate, and I'm just in the building stages at the moment, guerrillamedia.co.nz. It's a place where activists and researchers can go and post their articles on the main feed so that everybody has basically equal representation in order to get their information out there. And it's kind of like a rebel alliance, if you will, of activists, researchers, and alternative news junkies. Now, the idea behind this is to create a replacement mechanism for mainstream media broadcasting platforms. I want to buy television studios. I want to buy radio studios. I want to take over the means of production, but do it in a way, preferably so everybody's doing it from home, so there's virtually zero expense, because I think that that is the one thing that separates the truth movement from the mainstream media, is that we can run our operations incredibly efficiently on the whiff of a smell of an oily rag. And they need millions, billions of dollars. And the best that they can buy for that millions of dollars is moronic scum trash like Glenn Beck. You know, that's what $9 million a year gets you? Mate, imagine what you could do with $9 million a year, Freeman. You know,
oh, absolutely.
We would dominate this mofo.
There's no doubt about it.
You know, and this just speaks of true human spirit, doesn't it? Because the people who are paid to push propaganda are pathetic, okay? And the people who are unpaid, that serve humanity for humanity's sake, for the information's sake, are incredibly strong. And both sides of the equation know it. Okay, we know that we're strong. We know we can beat them, which fills us with a lot of hope, fills us with a lot of pride, and fills us with a lot of energy, and in some cases, a lot of anger. And unless we direct that anger at the appropriate establishment instead of other truthers, we won't survive. You know, as far as I'm concerned, that's really what it is. It's not about saving the planet. It's about saving humanity. You know, and they're two very, very different things. You know, climate cultists, for example, they think that saving the planet is exterminating all humans.
Right.
You know, and for goodness sake, what are we talking about? At what point has human life become so valueless that we feel that it's necessary to sacrifice others for what we want? I would never want to be put into a position where I even have power to decide whether or not another human life has the ability to exist. And hopefully I'll never actually be put in that position with a gun in my hand and having to shoot UN troops walking down the main street from a vantage point here up on my deck. You know, I don't want to be in that position, which is why I want to use information itself, because that is the most powerful weapon out there. You know, the pen is mightier than the sword, and in our age, the camera is mightier than the pen.
There's no doubt about that. Now, a lot of people have questioned, why is it that Austin, Texas holds all of the lead conspiracy theorists? You've got Jim Mars, Tex Mars, Alex Jones, me, all coming up out of Austin, Texas, and they want to know why we're all down there. Well, the truth of the matter is that Austin had Austin Access Television, and we could go into a TV studio and produce a television show. This was before YouTube, and just as Google videos coming in. Of course, Austin Access has been around a long time, since the 70s. And that's the reason these people are known and have a voice. Alex Jones started on Austin Access just as I did. We were both in the exact same studio, and that's the reason we're out here now. But now we have YouTube. Now anyone can be Alex Jones or me or you. They can just put up and, I mean, have you ever seen the Shaytards? I wish I got their numbers, you know?
Well, the what-tards?
Oh, it's the Shaytards. It's a family that sits around, films their family, call themselves each other different types of tards in the family, and they get millions of hits. I mean, their shows go up, and they're throwing the baby down the staircase, and this is entertainment. But, you know, the Shaytards get some big attention on YouTube, and they've become a phenomenon, and many times you can turn on a YouTube channel and actually make yourself into a celebrity.
Well, yeah, and like some people think that because you've got the numbers, that means that you're valuable or something like that, but I don't think that it's a numbers game. I fully believe in quality over quantity. But, of course, I could just be saying that because I've only got the quality and not the quantity, right? You know, you know, because I've got to be a relativist in order to justify what I do, of course. And, you know, this is the difficulty actually being a truther, is that you face a lot of criticism and you have to overcome far more hurdles than anybody else, okay? That's the difficulty. The positive side is once you get over those hurdles, once you face all that criticism and then send it back to them, once you realize that you're basically like a chicken in a suit of armor, impeccable.
It's so true. You know, it's water off of my duck's back, you know, when I get people coming in, because I can guarantee I'll blow your mind if you listen. And the information's entertaining and not frightful. There's a lot of frightful information out there and a lot of ways to look at the puzzle that we're on. But first of all, you got to go through your stages of grief. You have to go through the anger, the sorrow, the regrets, and all of that. But once you get through these stages of grief and you reach your acceptance, then this becomes an adventure. It becomes something you're living.
Yeah. And, you know, life is not a spectator sport.
It shouldn't be sport at all. Competition is something that's never really clicked with me. I've never been a competitive soul, and I've actually been champion of most of the things that I do. But yet, it didn't mean anything to me. If they hadn't told me in school that I was smarter than others, I would have never thought of it. I would have never known. But they give you these grades, and they tell you who's good and who's not, and so then we have this grade system, and we start to look at each other from separated views. I would have just thought all of you thought the same way I do, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the only thing that I can say that's good about competition is, or at least living in a competitive world, is that it teaches you to overcome adversity, right? And that's about all that I can say that's positive about it. The rest is very, very negative. There was a psychological study that was done a while back, and somebody sent me an email on this. I think it was our somewhat fabulous producer, Mr. Mitch Santel, sent me an email saying that there was a test done. Now, the parameters of the test were like this. There's two trucking companies. You have person A and person B in front fronting truck company A and truck company B. Your idea is to get your goods from point A to point B as quickly as possible so that you can make the most profit. All right. Now, there were three scenarios, three key factors in this. The truck had to go along a set route. Now, there were two possibilities. There was a very short and straight route, and there was a very long and windy route. Okay. Now, which one would you want to go down if you're in the interest of saving time and saving money? You'd want to go down the shortest route, wouldn't you? Now, sure. In process A, each person had control of a gate upon that shortest route, one at the end and one at the start, okay? So that you could say to the person, okay, I will allow you into this part of the gate, and then you could just shut the end on them, okay? That's what competition really does, is it more or less prompts you to sabotage your opponent. Now, conversely, it means that your opponent will also sabotage you. Option A. Okay. Now, both people didn't make that much money when they were competing against each other. Scenario two was when only one person had control of both gates. Okay. And interestingly enough, both people made more money than the people in the first scenario. And in the third scenario was when neither of them had control of the gates and they both made more money than both of the others combined. So conversely, it's proved, or at least in theory, to my mind anyway, that it is cooperation that produces better results, not competition.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. And then you find the miraculous existence. As soon as you start to get into this cooperation mode and you start meeting people and doing things, all of a sudden it's as if God's hand itself came down and gave you an opportunity, which is exactly what you're looking for. This is something that is very hard to tell people about our universe, about our existence, our world, that it actually does have a miraculous side. Not everything you do is exactly up to you to get it done. Once you open the door, opportunities come then as well in seeming miraculous ways, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's not hard to see, because if two people meet at an intersection and one of them wants to go first and the other person wants to, well, let's say they both want to go first and then they both plow ahead. What they're going to do is they're just going to end up in a head-on collision, okay? Then who gets to go first? It doesn't matter. It was your desire to get somewhere before the other person that led you both into disrepair. Okay, and this is the thing about humanity that I find absolutely quizzical, because we still haven't figured out that, hey, beating each other over the head with clubs doesn't get either of us anywhere. It gets both of us nowhere. To rag on your fellow man is to rag on yourself. You know, we have a symbiotic relationship with all the people around us, and the more hostility we put out, the more hostility we get back, and the less we achieve. And it is absolutely self-evident, you know. And have a look at all of our governments and all of that kind of stuff. Have a look at the U.S. government. What do the Republicans or the Democrats accomplish by being against each other? Nothing. Well, technically, there's a false left-right paradigm, and they support each other anyway. And so if you throw that into the mix, what do you get when the Republicans and the Democrats are really working together? You get a hell of a lot accomplished. A hell of a lot of really bad stuff, because they're both evilly cooperative.
Yeah. In that case.
Well, yeah.
Sometimes I really don't think they're human.
Yeah. Well, and again, this comes back to what is it to be human? What is it to be human? Now, I would consider that there's that argument for the soul, the spirit, something that you're not able to really explain, and you're not able to quantify. And I think that's the essence of being human, is not being able to be explained and not being able to be quantified, to be unpredictable. That's what being human is really about.
You know, we take our inner child, our creative play, and we turn it out onto the planet. And this is what I call the world. And so when we talk about saving the planet, I would prefer to say saving the world, which is our mental projection of ourselves out onto the planet. And therefore, if we were to change our worldview, we would quickly change the planetary inhabitants. We would change the way we exist, and we would find a new reason to be. It's just that simple. Oh, lots more to go. We'll be right back. You're listening in Radio Freeman with Vinny Eastwood. Let you know there are some big changes coming in my plans and in my strategies and how I get myself out to you. So be expecting changes coming up here, and I will keep you all posted over at freemantv.com as to what's going down and how it's going to go down. I am going to start my American Heritage Tour this coming month. So if you're in any of the regions around St. Louis, Atlanta, Washington, D.C., New York, or Philadelphia for the Free Your Mind Conference in April, April 9th and 10th. I will be speaking at the Free Your Mind Conference. Come on by, write me an email, blueflyfree@gmail.com. All that's at freemantv.com. And let's meet up and get to know one another on this travel of mine. So for the next month or two, I will be traveling. And we will be setting up a whole new network and a whole new system coming to you your way. Try to make these shows better and better and better. So just so you know, I will be on the road and I will be keeping you updated as to what's going down. Give you reports from the Philadelphia Lodge or all the different places that I'll be. So don't worry. I'm not going away. Good changes coming our way. So, Vinny.
Yes?
Here we are on this very strange trip trying to help the world, share our thoughts and information with everyone for the mere hope that we could change the world.
Well, I think every moment that we breathe, we change the world in some small way, you know? And that's the interesting thing about competition is that people think that they need to have some kind of sense of accomplishment, you know? They want to see something for their efforts. And this is one of the other things that I do like to subscribe to. It's like, if I'm working hard every day, I want to see at least some kind of result for my efforts. Now, I've been doing my show for like maybe 8-9 months or so, and I've been in the truth movement for maybe 2.5 years, and you know, I don't really consider myself a truther or anything like that, or any type of groupthink type of slug. Essentially, I'm just Vinny Eastwood, and I am what I am. And I can't change what I am. However, I can change how I look at things, you know? And in so doing, I change the world around me because I'm changing how I perceive it, right? And so the world in relation to me, that's what a lot of people have now become, have taken to its worst extreme and become so nihilistic that they don't believe anything anymore. They don't care about anything anymore. And the right. Three words that I hate to hear, and I don't use the word hate very often because, you know, it's just inappropriate, basically. But the three words are, I don't care. You know, I don't care. That is the worst thing you could ever say to me. That really gets my goat, and it really, really Fs me off to no end. Because if you don't care, then what the hell are you living for? Exactly. Okay? Here's a chainsaw and a trampoline. Go nuts.
Yeah.
You know, try and juggle it without any experience. See what happens. At least that will be more amusing than saying, I don't care. You know, I don't really... I have... so much concern for my fellow man that I could never not care,
All right. There are occasions when I would be really ticked off, but I'm only ticked off because I care, you know, and I'd rather experience both extremes rather than try and balance everything out by not caring about anything.
Well, let's care a little bit about this earthquake right now. I didn't actually mean to derail you off of that topic so quickly. I wanted to get some more about what you know about how there was perhaps even FEMA preparation before this event. Do you have some insider knowledge there, being in New Zealand, or just, you know, man on the street type of opinions as to what has happened with this earthquake?
It's multifaceted, Freeman. So what we've got here, we've got reports of rainbow-colored clouds coming out of a HAARP facility near Bluff. That's been confirmed by two sources, but I probably need a third to corroborate it entirely, and I'd also want to see footage, which I have not seen yet. We have also had some other people coming out with YouTube videos claiming that it's a HAARP one, and I was just on with AD Griffith on the Intel Hub before, talking about how it's not HAARP, it's actually scalar weapons that caused it. We have rumors of four U.S. vessels in the area just prior to the quake. We have a report of 176 pilot whales that washed ashore a day before the quake. And here's the kicker. Janet Napolitano and nine congressmen were supposed to be in Christchurch on that day. And each and every one of them found an excuse not to be there at the time.
Well, that begs two questions. Why were they supposed to be there? And then, of course, why were they warned when no one else was?
Well, who says they were warned? Maybe they just knew, you know, they just knew that the earthquake was coming for some reason. You know, they were psychically gifted from
on
high.
Intuition.
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally, totally. But the reason why they were supposed to be there is the kicker. All right. Now, you know what slave trade is, right? Oh, sorry, free trade. Freudian slip there.
Right.
They're trying to get New Zealand into this effing... I'm sorry. It makes me really, really angry when I see my country being sold out by scumbag bankers like Merrill Lynch, former employee John Key, our prime sinister, who was integral in creating the effing derivatives bubble, of which there is now 1.4 quadrillion of, still floating there, and threatens to collapse the entire economy and bring us into a fabulous Bancor-issued currency world government. That really... really gets my goat, man. And so what they were doing there is they were having a fabulous little conference about what a good thing it is to sell us out to slave trade and how we need to integrate everybody together. It's the exact same thing that they were talking about in the EU with the economic prosperity partnerships in the US and all of this kind of stuff. Essentially, they're just going to turn the nine countries into subservient slaves to the New World Order, and they're going to amalgamate us for the administrative convenience of the scumbags in the UN once they try and put together this world government framework with this global super states ruling their particular areas of the world. That's what they were here to discuss. Okay, and then all of a sudden this big quake hits and none of them are there to be found.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly suspicious at the least.
Yes.
Okay.
And we're watching it form around us as just two major rocket launches out of the California coast launching National Reconnaissance Office satellites into space. Two major Big Brother operations just launched up there. We have the nuclear subs, the British have the Astute, the largest nuclear submarine ever crafted. They're preparing for this domination with all of this technology around us. Right now, CERN has just hyped itself up to full power, getting ready for collisions again. Are you seeing submarines around there, New Zealand? What are there any?
You can't because they're underwater. But
yeah, right.
But yeah, that's actually was the report that there were four naval vessels here, and nobody saw them because they were submarines, right? And the coincidences keep piling up, mind you. The HMS Canterbury, which is one of New Zealand's largest ships in the fleet, was in Christchurch conducting emergency drills, just like the US military was conducting emergency drills around the Haiti quake as well. So, it's coincidence after coincidence after coincidence. And then, once you have more than three coincidences, then you have to start thinking, okay, maybe there's something suspicious going on here. Or rather than saying maybe, there definitely is something suspicious going on here. And it smells, it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, but it can't be. No, it must be a rhinoceros or a giraffe. And people are just blatantly sitting on their hands and doing jack nothing about it, while me and my co-host Will are trying to wake up the country by ourselves. It's like, for goodness sake. Despite the fact that it's an uphill battle trying to inform the public about these things that are being kept out of the public sphere, because what everybody's doing now is they are buying into the fear paradigm, and heaven forbid I should make a joke about this. Okay, because meanwhile, people in Christchurch are starting to live their lives, and they're playing games on Facebook again, and they're having real fun and all of that kind of jazz. And if I make a joke or something, as I have done on Facebook a couple of times regarding the Facebook Facebook quake, if I make a few jokes about it, I'm suddenly heralded as some description of social pariah, and it's ridiculous, The only way that you're ever going to deal with terrible situations is to laugh about it. That's why doctors and military men and all of that, they love comedy, because it's the only way that they can really deal with the horrible reality is to laugh about it. Now, on that point, I'm going to say something really offensive here. Freeman, do you know what the what Christchurch's favorite game is now?
No.
Squash.
Squash. Oh, that's
See, and that's a bit rough, and I'll probably draw some criticism for doing that. But the fact of the matter is, if you allow yourself to buy into the fear, if you buy into the misery, if you buy into all the negative paradigm that the mainstream media is spinning 24 hours a day, you are not going to get any more well-informed, and you are not going to be any better adjusted to it than somebody who is capable of taking a step back and taking a lighthearted approach to a dark situation. The people who can do that, like me, are the people who are more than likely going to be able to survive it less scathed. In my opinion. Oh, no, I could be wrong. Maybe being a miserable suck up and pathetic slime is exactly what needs to happen in order for everybody to be happy.
Well, at least you'll go down happy, right?
Yeah.
But I think that's the only way to shift this consciousness. I don't think we can fight the new world order. I think that we need to shift our world and therefore just start to live in the way that we know is human. And just, really start at the basics, of course, with food and shelter. I'd love to do away with landlords. I'd love to do away with, a lot of these wasteful structures that we have, such as the gas. And we could have free power. We have plenty of apparatuses now to do such things. We could have water cars, things of this nature. But beyond all that, I would love to just see humanity start to gather together again in communities and start to feed one another and share food. And at that moment, they start to share concepts, ideas, and the world grows instead of being confined by just the media hacks that are giving you your opinion.
Well, and you hit the nail on the head right there. They don't ask people what their opinion is or whatever that kind of thing. I mean, technically they do, right? But their job is not to ask questions. Their job is to report, okay? And their job is not to investigate, okay? Now, our job, on the other hand, is to investigate. Our job is to ask the questions. Our job is to actually inform people, or at the very least give them access to information so that they can make their own decisions. We don't want people to think in a certain way. We want people to think for themselves. Okay? And that's the real different cutting edge with the truth movement than the centralized mainstream media, is it? Because decentralized systems are far more efficient than any type of centralized society. Every type of society throughout history that has tried to centralize its government, centralize its resources, centralize its infrastructure has failed miserably.
You mean you don't want to live in Venusville? You're not for the Venus Project?
Well, you know, the history speaks for itself. And the idea of the Venus Project is by no means a new idea. There have been cashless societies before. There have been resource-based economies before. Technically, we currently live in a resource-based economy, except the elite control all the resources.
Right.
You know, so it's not a new idea. And so it's like a communist, for example. They say, oh, well, you know, I still want, in light of like Stalinism and Maoism that has just exterminated copious quantities of people, I'm still a communist because I think that they just didn't do it right. No, they did it perfect. And that's exactly how it's going to happen again. Thank you very much. Have a look at history. It will predict what is going to happen in the future via the ideologies that you follow. Okay? Period. If you're foolish enough to think that history doesn't repeat itself, then history's going to repeat itself again. And that's what really ticks me off about people, is that history being one of the subjects that is greatly dwindling in the education system, because if people were informed about history, they'd know what's going on today.
Very well said. We'll be right back. Saturday night on the Free Zone at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time over at FreemanTV.com. Frauder X will be joining me finally for a deep insider's look to the secret war inside of Freemasonry. You do not want to miss this show. This is going to go deep and far, and I have some surprises for you coming along on that show. That's Saturday night at 8 p.m. over at FreemanTV.com. Just click on the Freeman Radio Zone. Check it out. Well, Vinny, what message do you want to leave with everyone? What messages have you garnished from your many years and on planet Earth, going around the sun, trying to figure out what's going on?
Whew, it's a tall order.
I know.
Hey, well, haven't we already said? I mean, well, basically, let's just reiterate what we've already gone over. You need to understand the fundamental importance of humor. Okay, you need to understand that your emotions are important to you. You need to understand that because you are a being made of water and water is influenceable by emotions, that you need to ensure that people around you aren't negative scumbags. You also need to ensure that you have a strong belief in moral ethic, or basically just doing what's right. Okay, if you believe in doing what's right and then you actually do it, it makes you feel right. Ironically enough. Also, you've got to question pretty much everything that comes in front of you. Your blind belief is the surefired way to falling into a hole because, A, you're not looking where you're going. And if you have tough times, you can laugh, you can cry, but for goodness sake, don't take pharmaceutical drugs. Because
Absolutely.
You won't... Because you won't be having a hard life for long, because you just kill yourself. and I don't want to, you know, offend any of the people who have lost loved ones due to the adverse side effects of pharmaceutical drugs. You know, there's only two countries in this world that allow to direct to consumer pharmaceutical advertising: America and New Zealand. Incidentally, New Zealand has the highest rate of youth suicide, and I'd wager that that's because, unlike America, we don't have any warning labels in our bottle. They give people poisons and they don't even tell them that they're dangerous, you know? So that's the reason why you have to question everything, because if you question nothing, it is so easy to lie to you and you are so easy to be manipulated, okay? And that's a very, very bad idea, you know? You are the charter of your course. You are the man at the tiller and you have to set your own course and stay the course. No matter what it may be, through rough waters, calm waters, Doesn't matter. You've got to find out where you're heading, and you've got to make sure that you don't plow yourself into a freaking cliff, you know? And it's very easy to do these days. There's so many distractions, and there's so many opportunities that we have here to do really good and positive things, all right? And that's what the distractions are dangerous for. You don't have to, you know, watch 36 channels of growing up Gotti. You don't have to chug down beer and Coca-Cola like there's no tomorrow. You don't have to do any of that. That is a choice that you make. Now, granted, there's a heck of a lot of choices out there that you're completely unaware that you're actually even making, which is why you need to inform yourself about things, okay? Anybody out there, I mean, you have a look at, what's it called, H2O, or dihydrogen monoxide is the scientific term for it, you know? Somebody went around with a clipboard and saying, hey, we need to ban dihydrogen monoxide because it's the main ingredient in acid rain, and people can drown from it. And, you know, those kind of things. And because people don't understand what it is they're talking about, because they don't understand the definitions of how they live their lives, because they don't even frickin' question it, that is why people were led down the garden path, really. You know, they don't, their antenna just doesn't go up and go, oh, hold on, this is BS. All right? If you are incapable of understanding something, and I don't believe anybody is incapable, there are certain people who are resistant to understanding, certain people who are pro-ignorance, as ironic as that sounds. Those people don't have a future because they have chosen, through their actions, to not have one. In my opinion, the future is more important than the present because it's the only thing that we haven't reached yet and never will reach. Okay? So therefore, it's the only place that we could ever conceive of that has unlimited potential. The present moment is what we're living in, okay? And I believe that there is only one moment all throughout history. It is this moment. And that moment has stretched all throughout history and will continue to stretch on into the future. And isn't it heartening and really, really nice, warm, fuzzy feeling to know that you have shared this one moment with every human being that has ever existed? Their hopes, their fears, their dreams, you have shared all of it, and you always will.
Gives me goosebumps. I find that it's cultural as well. And a lot of times just the very energy that you get from the culture. When we were in Australia, when we were asking, well, where could we go find food? And everyone that we asked would say to us, well, are you vegan or just vegetarian?
Oh.
And this type of culture then spreads this loving vibe, and everybody we went around was just the happiest, glorious people, spreading this, goosebump vibration between everybody. And this also just made everyone feel good. And then the answers would come, and everybody was gathering together there in Australia going, how can we save the world? We can grow all this food. We have so much great food growing. We have so much beauty around us. What's wrong?
Yeah. Well, the more we look for problems outside ourselves, the more we miss the problems inside ourselves.
Fine words of wisdom there. Well, keep tuned to FreemanTV.com for the coming changes. Vinny, thank you so much. We'll see you on the other side.